From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, the UFO agenda. Here's what's happening. We're following some breaking news tonight in Russia and Ukraine. It's morning time there, and Russia has unleashed apparently a salvo of bombs on Ukraine as Putin's forces launched a long-awaited invasion of the country. He declared a special military operation in Ukraine after months of growing tension between the two nations. The capital of Kiev was rocked by a number of explosions, with dramatic footage showing fire rising from buildings as loud blasts echoed. The invasion began after a televised address from a defiant Putin, who rejected calls for peace last night from Ukraine's President Zelensky. Mr. Zelensky pleaded to the people of Russia that only they could stop the invasion in an emotional address. The reports later on today say that Russia has bombed military installations and border guards. Howard Bloom has been watching this story for us all day and tonight. Howard, it's a strange one.
It's a strange one. Russia has just attacked the Ukraine from three sides, the north, the south, and the east. And here's the background. On Tuesday, President Biden announced economic sanctions on Russia for sending troops into the Ukraine. Then Russia proclaimed earlier today that it will attack us with strong and painful countermeasures, asymmetrical moves that will hit us where we are sensitive. In other words, Putin may mount cyber attacks on our water supply, our energy grid, our military, or our markets. But that's just the beginning. Roughly 11 hours later, Putin gathered his military commanders in Moscow and gave that early morning speech that you just mentioned. He announced that Russia will mount what Putin called a special military operation in Ukraine, and he explained that he will demilitarize and denazify the Ukraine. It sounds like Putin wants to eradicate the entire Ukrainian army and purge the Ukraine of people who might disagree with him. In fact, reports say that Putin already has lists of Ukrainians to be killed or imprisoned. Any nation that interferes, says the Russian strongman, will be hit with what he calls consequences you have never seen. Why are these attacks and counterattacks happening? Russia appears to be making the first moves in what could become the biggest war in Europe since World War II. Even if Putin seizes control of the entire Ukraine, he is unlikely to stop there. How do we know that? In December, Putin made his demands to Western leaders in writing. He wants all of the territory Russia possessed before 1997. That means he wants Poland, Hungary, the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Albania, Bulgaria, North Macedonia, Romania, Slovakia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Putin appears to want close to 40% of the European continent. Why? In an article Putin published on the Kremlin website a few months ago, Putin implied that it had taken 1,000 years for Russia to assemble its empire, and he implied that he wants that empire back. Then in a one-hour speech Monday night, Putin proclaimed that the Ukrainian nation is a fiction. Explained Putin, quote, since time immemorial, the people living in the southwest coast of what has historically been Russian land have called themselves Russians and Orthodox Christians, close quote. Western and Ukrainian historians disagree. But why is Vladimir Putin going for the conquest of Eastern Europe at this particular moment in time? He systematically weakened NATO from 2016 to 2020 by manipulating the politics in America, Britain, Italy, and the rest of Europe. He funneled money and disinformation to movements like England's Brexit and France's Frexit, and he encouraged Americans to insult our NATO allies. Meanwhile, his cyber war against us helped set off a conflict between the American right and the American left, a conflict so severe that many now see it leading to a new civil war. What's more, Russia has cultivated a team of Putin cheerleaders in the USA, influential figures like Tucker Carlson, Mike Pompeo, and former President Donald Trump. Former President Trump yesterday called Putin's move on the Ukraine genius. In other words, Putin has been using divide and conquer to make us weak. But that's not all. 5 days ago, Russia put on nuclear military exercises, near the Ukrainian border. The star weapon was something America can't match and may not be able to defend against, a hypersonic cruise missile that travels seven times the speed of sound, hugs the ground, zigs and zags to evade defenses, can be mounted on submarines, and can carry nuclear warheads to the coastal cities of the United States. But here's the real key. Vladimir Putin is about to be 70 years old. He apparently wants to go down in history as a great man, a great leader, like Ivan the Terrible, Peter the Great, and Catherine the Great, all of whom got their greatness by expanding the Russian Empire.
Is he a genius, Howard, or is he insane?
Well, he knows what he's doing. He has brilliant control over himself. But when you take genius and you remove a moral compass or you send a person on the wrong path, that person becomes the devil incarnate.
Thank you, Howard. We'll be continuing to monitor the story throughout the night for you. Calorie restrictions in laboratory animals enhances their lifespan, prior research shows, but does the same hold true for humans? Researchers at Yale University concluded that the first controlled study of the dietary regimen in humans to determine if it is indeed as beneficial for people. The results that calorie restriction in humans leads to remarkable long-term health benefits is absolutely true. Home prices rose almost 20% last year, the biggest increase in 34 years, and substantially ahead of 2020's 10.4% gain. All regions saw price gains, especially Phoenix, Tampa, and Miami. Registered investment advisor Mish Shedlock with us. Mish, we kind of knew this, didn't we?
We sure did, George. 18.84%. We've been talking about this for months. Prices keep going up and up and up. Meanwhile, the BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, says that rent prices are, as of December, are only going up 3.3%. George, I don't know how anyone can believe that. They say rent of homes is going up less than 4%. I don't know how anybody can believe that. But with that, they say the CPI is up 7.5%. I did a substitution. I put actual home prices in the CPA, taking out what they call owner's equivalent rent. And I come up with a CPI of close to 10%, 9.88%. And unfortunately, I've got some pretty bad news here on the food front, too. We talked about this a little bit. But I'm looking across the board here, George, just not pretty. Wheat futures, soybean futures, corn futures, cattle futures, hog futures, all of them are at 5 to 10 year highs. And guess what? To tie into the Ukraine story, almost 29% of global wheat exports come from Russia and Ukraine. So we've got a mess here. I'm watching the futures. The stock market is spiking down strongly tonight. Crude futures are close to $100, so the price of oil is going to go up. It looks pretty bad, George.
That's all we need, Mish. My gosh. Well, does it feel like your smartphone never leaves your hand? You're not alone. A new survey reveals 6 in 10 people cannot cope without being separated from their mobile phone for more than a day. Surprisingly, the poll of 2,000 smartphone users finds only 3 in 10 claim they never need to leave their home without their phone. Up next, Dr. Brooks Agnew joins us. We're going to be talking with him about a litany of subjects, including the Hollow Earth, and what might be happening with the Nephilim right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Dr. Brooks Agnew back with us. Grew up in Pasadena, California, hanging around Jet Propulsion Laboratory and Caltech. He entered the Air Force back in 1973, graduated top in his class in electronics engineering. His scientific consulting company has served for years with Fortune 100 companies to save or bring back America more than 10,000 jobs. He is a multi-patented engineer. He's been and continues to be the CEO of an electric truck manufacturer in North Carolina. Brooks, welcome back.
Thank you so much, George. Good to be here.
How is that truck company doing?
Well, it's doing all right. Our designs are still superior. I'm amazed at how many people are now in the electric truck business, or at least report themselves to be. But they're all missing the mark. They still can't do what our truck can do.
No, not at all. You're one of a kind. And I remember doing that Beyond Belief TV show with you a few years ago. Folks are still emailing me about that.
That was too much fun. I love that program.
How many times have you been on Coast to Coast with us?
Oh, wow. I don't even know. Maybe 18 times.
That's not bad. Over the years, not bad at all. So what's new? Give us an update. What have you been up to?
Oh, my goodness. Everything is accelerating. You know, I find humanity to be kind of caught in between two phases. And just listening to your news clips earlier reminded me of it. We're either in the phase where we're trying to get enough together where we can go off-grid and get away from the system and try to be free, or we're scrambling to get into the system and have as great of an effect on the world as we possibly can. Everybody's kind of caught in those two paradigms right now.
Lots to talk with you about tonight, Brooks. Let's get an update on the Hollow Earth and that expedition. And is it still in the plans?
Sure, yeah. We have worked for a long time on that project. We did a lot of minor trips. We went to Tibet and China and Japan and Mexico and places in Canada. We have discovered roots of the Hollow Earth story going all the way back to the 6th century. And the last remaining part of this global expedition, which we took on in 2006, is to go above the Arctic Circle and search for an opening in the crust between two oceans, one on the inside of the planet, one that we sail on the outside of the planet. And it has just proven to be, you know, so financially taxing to pull that off that we haven't been able to do it yet. But we still have our sights set on 2024. So we're going to keep pushing forward. These things happen when they're supposed to happen.
Brooke, a little off course a little bit, but I want to get your reaction to what's happening at Ukraine right now in Russia with the bombings of some military installations.
I spoke to my business partners in Kazakhstan, and I also spoke to my man on the ground in Donbass. He's in Donetsk. He's been there for 8 years. And part of the news is correct. There are Nazis. They have been there since 2014, and they've been getting stronger, and they've been fighting inside of Ukraine. And there's hardly a building on the east side that doesn't have a bullet hole in it from this street-to-street fighting that's going on there. And these are real Nazis. These are real swastika-carrying, goose-stepping, Z-Kyle Nazis that have been there in Ukraine. They don't get a lot of news. But they are fighting against the separatists, and they're fighting against they call themselves communists, but they're just people that want to be, you know, want to have peace. And the oligarchs that own all the land and the mines and the forests and the factories and everything. So there's like three factions fighting at the same time. And I'm surprised at the propaganda that's going on out there, and what they sort of read the mind of Vladimir Putin and how well organized he appears to be.
Mm-hmm.
It goes way beyond that, George. Putin is just a player. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. That's why I think it's so important to bring the Nephilim into this mix, because this is a plan. It's been put together for a long, long time.
Let's jump into that now then, Brooks, and tell us about the tie-in with the Nephilim.
Well, we have an introduction to them, of course, in Genesis. We see their appearance first in the sixth chapter of Genesis, and then that's before the flood. And then the flood comes and destroys all the offspring of the fallen angels, who are also called Nephilim. So the Nephilim have Nephilim as offspring. So all of the offspring are killed off. But then after the flood, in Deuteronomy, they're mentioned again. So they kind of survived the flood. It's in our book, series, The Ark of Millions of Years, we maintain that they knew the flood was coming, they prepared for the flood, and they got off planet during the flood and came back after the flood and reestablished themselves. However, they did not do the same campaign. They didn't mix with humans and try to create giants, because that was not a plan that worked out very well on this planet. Humans are much more formidable than any race of beings they've ever faced in the universe. So this time they decided to work inside the ranks of men, influencing them, giving them special knowledge, magic. And they established two things that control the world from that day forward. One is a balance of weaponry between both sides. They love to have the world at war, fighting one another, but never one side totally dominating the other with advanced weaponry way beyond what the other side has. They give both sides airplanes. They give both sides tanks. They give both sides the nuclear bomb. They just like it. The other is that the Nephilim established all the religions on the earth, all of them. And then they trained those religions to hate all the other religions. It was the perfect theater for the Nephilim to operate in. They're small in numbers, but because of their immense knowledge and their power, and some of it supernatural, they're able to bless men who will give over their souls to them. And this has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. That's why the mission that you see that we have recorded through 44 ancient cultures that we document in the Ark of Millions of Years, all the way up to present day, it's the same mission, it's the same methods, it's the same goal.
Would they look unusual walking down the street?
Yes, I believe they would. They are physical beings, but they're also spiritual beings. So they kind of walk in both worlds, as do we. We're spiritual beings having a mortal experience. Of course, the difference between our DNA and theirs is they live for tens of thousands of years. We live about 100 years, and then we just wear out, fall to dust, and then start over again and continue our eternal experience in another body, in another generation.
Can they be destroyed or hurt?
I believe they can, and many of them have been killed, and they have been imprisoned. That's why there are so few of them left. I believe around four of them are still here on the earth, and they are still organizing all for evil. They never give men things that will lead to their salvation, only to their doom and enslavement.
And you said there are only four left? That's it?
That's it. That's all the ones I can document. Now, there were 200 originally, but I can only find evidence for four of them now.
Where are they hiding out, do you think?
That's a really good question. We believe that one is in Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado. We believe that one is in Antarctica and has some kind of compound there. And the other two, one is in Europe, probably in Brussels or the Netherlands, and the other one is in Asia.
Are they wealthy, Brooks?
Wealth doesn't mean anything to them. They don't accumulate physical wealth in the way that we do. Their value is, I know this is really going to sound odd because it's something that we don't really pay attention to. Their value in the universe is a word called glory. Glory is a very misunderstood concept. Even God wants glory, and he can do great things when he receives a lot of it from us.
I remember my days in the Catholic Church. There were a lot of songs that had the word glory in it.
Absolutely, and it's almost mystical, but humans, and not just the physical body, but our spirit, we have the ability, unlike any other being on this planet, we have the ability to perceive time. We have the ability to use our observational energy to actually influence the state of planet Earth itself. We have a symbiotic relationship with the planet Earth.
We're going to take your calls next hour with Brooks Agnew. We are talking with him about our planet. Tell me about the Global Syndicate. What is that?
Oh, my. Well, the Global Syndicate, when we started doing our research, we found a evidence of an organization. And we really didn't know what to call it over time, but it consists of four parts. It consists of a military part, a political part, a financial part, and what we have ended up calling the global media empire. And that has four missions as well, one in litigation, one in legislation, one in education, and the other in entertainment. From Roman times until now, they have been involved in this. The global syndicate operates just like a crime syndicate would operate. They're designed to control everything. Now, you wonder, and I do too, why in the world would anybody worry about controlling all of us? Who wants to rule all of us? Who wants to make sure I get three meals a day and medical care and all that? Who would care about that? Nobody. It doesn't have anything to do with our physical sustenance. It has to do with our soul energy. We are free and independent beings. And whoever we cast our allegiance with, that's where our value goes. That's where our energy, where our wealth goes. And that's what the Global Syndicate is designed to
control. All right, hold on, Brooks. We'll talk more about that when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, back with Dr. Brooks Agnew, as we are talking about the Nephilim and what's happening to our planet. We're going to get into his thoughts on end times in a moment. Back to this Global Syndicate, Brooks, in terms of humans, who might be running the show there?
Well, that's a very good question. We know that Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the World Economic Forum, is one of the main players, although he himself is also a puppet. He just is the public face that we see a lot of. What the Global Syndicate excels at is being able to work inside governments. So they don't have to necessarily conquer a country like, say, the United States from the outside. All they really have to do is work from the inside. And starting in the days of Lincoln, trying to split this country apart to remove freedom and liberty from the earth, they've been somewhat successful. In 1933, when Roosevelt became president, the systematic dismantling of the United States of America began. The agency government that we see today, that writes all of our laws, assesses all of our taxes, confiscates our stuff, spends all our money, we don't have any representation in that government, but that government works for the Global Syndicate.
Now, is this syndicate well established?
Yes, it's very well established, and it has hierarchies of authority. But when you get to the higher levels, the most important thing in the Global Syndicate is the bloodline. They work within very strict bloodlines, and that's for a reason. Because you really have to go all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve. When Cain was born, he contained the DNA, the genome of Lucifer, because Lucifer beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden. He slew Abel, but Cain survived, and Cain was allowed to survive. And when he began having offspring with the people of the land of Nod, that DNA made it into the human genome. That DNA is special in the sense that it can support a demon born in the flesh on the earth. Now, we've gone to war with them several times, and we've scattered that DNA as much as we can. And in the late 70s to the late 80s, they began to put together a human genome program. By the mid-90s, it was in full swing at Johns Hopkins. I know because my older brother was deeply involved in that program. And they developed a way to map the human genome and to trace it, its origins. And they wanted to put together a government-funded program from DARPA to collect DNA globally, and Congress would not fund it. So they decided to privatize it, and they sold the service to people all over the world. People actually paid them and gave them their DNA. Well, over the next decade, they were able to collect enough DNA that they could map this ancient demonic DNA all over the world. And in order to collect it, to get it back to a high enough concentration where these beings could support a demon, they had to perform mass migrations. So what we saw from the 90s until now is massive migrations of people from the Middle East, from South America, to get these strains, these bloodlines, back in the right positions so they could concentrate that DNA again and bring more demons to Earth.
You have written a lot about end times. Does it echo the Book of Revelation?
It does and it doesn't. Revelation and the other books, the writings of John, talk about, earthlings marching toward Armageddon and having this mighty battle, and then Jesus comes down and splits the Mount of Olives. There's another extra-biblical concept called the rapture, where the righteous are taken up into the clouds. We kind of sit in sky bleachers and watch the wicked burn as stubble. Personally, I don't want to be in those bleachers. I don't care anything about seeing something like that. But what we saw when we digested the 44 ancient cultures, is that's not exactly what happens. Earth, being this living thing, this thing made of planet, made of higher energy matter and lower energy matter, was anciently merged together, a lot like our bodies are, a spirit and a physical body. And in the end times, it is prophesied that the two Earths will again separate. So that's why I wrote the Birth Trilogy, to describe how the spirit Earth separates from the physical Earth and how the race of mankind will also divide with that planet.
Are we, in your opinion, Brooks, in the mists of end times now?
The only thing missing are the cataclysms. The great cataclysms that we wrote about in the book that the ancients talked about, the Maya, the Babylonians, they all talked about great cataclysms in the last days where mountains become valleys, valleys become mountains, oceans leave their bounds kinds of things, you know, planetary upheaval. That has not occurred yet. We get little ripples every now and then, you know, rogue waves or a volcano or something like that, but actual planetary shifts we haven't seen yet. So those signs are the only ones that are missing. The grand division has already occurred, and the gathering is happening as we speak.
Would this situation with Ukraine and Russia be a catalyst for that?
That kind of cataclysm, no. What we're still witnessing is the gathering. We're seeing the great forces of evil and good fighting for the resources of Earth. This is a third dimensional battle that we're watching go on right now. The control over the world's food supply, over European gas supply, over communications, all of that is a third dimensional battle. There's a much higher spiritual battle that's going on over top of all of this. That's where we humans are the most powerful beings in the universe.
If a lot of people really understood all of this, Brooks, wouldn't they go crazy?
I used to think so, yes, but it's kind of like UFOs. I mean, like hardly anybody doesn't believe there are UFOs right now, but I'm personally grateful for two things. Number one is they're as present as they want to be. If they wanted to be more present, there's probably nothing we could do about it. And the second thing is, I am so glad they have not brandished their weapons yet.
Well, me too. They haven't had a need to, but who knows, right?
Yeah, but I think that people rise to the occasion. If I try to explain this to them, like we are right now, over 600 radio stations around the country, there are people shaking their heads going, that guy's crazy. But there are a lot of people that are saying, you know what? That makes sense. I'm beginning to understand now. And that's what's happening to all of humanity. They're getting it.
Why does there seem to be so much hate on this planet?
Well, it's a very high energy emotion and a very low frequency. What we're witnessing with this gathering is we're seeing the high frequency souls of the Earth begin to gather together. Even if they don't gather physically in one place, our frequency is separating from the frequency of darkness. And that's all prophesied. It is said in the last days, light shall shine and the darkness shall comprehend it not. And that's what's happening. Darkness cannot exist where there is light. Only the shadows exist. We drive the darkness back into the shadows. And when we get together at these conferences, which that was one of the main reasons why the COVID was released, to stop us from gathering, to separate us, to put us in solitary confinement. But we have now pushed through that, and we're going to start gathering again, and nothing is going to stop us now.
I think you're right. I think people are fed up, and they're starting to come back in droves, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And the frequency is very high. You know, look at what happened in Ottawa last couple of weeks. Those people came together. They didn't even put trash in the streets, didn't break a window, didn't burn anything. There was love and dancing and togetherness, and that frequency resonated all over the world.
Well, and all they had to simply do in Canada was just stop the vaccine mandates.
Yeah, and of course, that's just a cause. But who would have thought, I would never have thought, that Canada would be the epicenter for that high-frequency vibration,
no,
starting in BC and going all the way to Ottawa.
Nobody would have seen that.
Someplace else. Yeah, it took me by surprise.
Why is this happening now?
Well, that's a good question. I'm not so sure about the timing, but you recall 18 years ago, my first time on Coast to Coast, you asked me, because I had mentioned there was some event that was going to happen on Earth that made the entire, all the sentient beings in the universe look toward our planet. And that was the birth of Jesus Christ. This is the planet he was born on. He's not just the savior of Earth. He's the savior of the entire universe. That's why this is happening now.
Is something grand going to happen in a good way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are the greatest show in the universe.
We're overdue, Brooks, for something wonderful, aren't we?
Well, I certainly would like to see it happen in my lifetime. I know you would. It would be terrible to have to start over again in diapers and watch it. But we have been at this for a long, long time. And I have to say, you and your listeners have had more effect on the awakening of planet Earth than any force in human history.
I agree with that. They are truly remarkable individuals. I mean, they just...
Well, you think about it. Jesus, prophets, even radio broadcasts with Billy Graham or whatever. No one has reached more souls with a greater message than you and Coast to Coast AM.
We've been doing it for 20 years plus, that's for sure. And we're not going to stop now.
Not going to stop now.
What's your latest work? What are you working on now?
Well, I'm still consulting full-time. The Fortune 100 can't leave me alone. We're launching some new safety products for, actually, Fortune 103. I can't mention the name. So I'm still doing it, still designing tools and parts, and still trying to make the automotive world listen to me as far as electric vehicles. The one good thing is we're out of debt, so we don't have to worry about selling stock or you know, what the price of the market is or anything. We'll be here when everybody else is done.
Have you been approached by Tesla, for example, wanting to buy you?
I can't say that on the air. I can say that we're a very small community, those of us that have survived in the electric vehicle business. We work with a limited resource, which is lithium. There is not enough lithium to power all the electric vehicle companies in the world. And electric vehicles do, even today, because, you know, back in 1911, 70% of the vehicles in all the cities and towns were electric. People don't know that, but it's true. In 1912, electric starter was invented, and that's when gasoline engines started taking over electric vehicles on the streets. But here we have come full circle, and gasoline is consistently so expensive and so volatile that there are aspects of our transportation industry that would benefit from electric vehicles. Sadly, it's not the consumer world.
Brooks, where are we? We're about 8 billion people on this planet now. Can we sustain this?
So they say. I've been around the world a few times. I don't see evidence of 8 billion people. I hear the numbers, but I've been to China and Japan and India and South America and Mexico. I don't see an evidence of 8 billion people. But yes, the answer is yes. Properly managed, the Earth could handle twice this many people alive at the same time. Most of the world needs to learn how to deal with its trash and its sewage and manage energy better. But we definitely could support at least twice as many people as we have now on the Earth.
What makes you, knowing what you know, what makes you so hopeful?
That's the high frequency that I see out there. I have hope because I don't have despair. I refuse to have despair. I think that there's more than enough and to spare on this planet for everyone to have a high-quality life. Now, does that mean everyone is a millionaire, everyone has a life of luxury after age 45? No, that's not what we're built for. We're built to reach the measure of our creation, and I think that that is possible as long as there is an immense greed and despair.
Brooks Agnew with us, Dr. Brooks Agnew. His websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Several of his books include Birth, The Gathering, Division, The Grand Division, Two Earths, One Race for Time, Charm of Favor. What's your favorite book that you've written?
Oh, my gosh. It's got to be Volume 3 of the Birth Trilogy. That book, when I was on with Birth Volume 1, you said, so when's the next book coming out? I said, I don't know. I'll be done in about 2 years with the second one. That's not what happened. The next morning, that second book woke me up, and I wrote it out. And in 18 months, I did all three volumes. They just streamed out of me. And that third volume was the most amazing experience of my life. And it will be for theirs, too, if they read it.
Good for you. Good for you. So if you take this Hollow Earth mission, where do you think it's going to take you?
Where do I think it's going to be or when? I think we're going to shoot for 2024, but it has to be in that 10,000 square mile area above the Arctic Circle. We think that's where the opening is between the two oceans. And yes, there is an inner ocean. We've measured it with real scientific equipment.
How accurate was Admiral Byrd's diary?
I don't think his second diary, the one that was discovered, the one that got all the fame, I don't think it's very accurate. I researched subsequent trips from generally the same area in Spitsbergen up to the North Pole and back. They all took more time and even with more modern aircraft. So it is doubtful to me that the aircraft that Admiral Byrd flew off of the beach of Spitsbergen made it to the North Pole, turned around, and flew back at least to 2,500 feet altitude in whiteout conditions.
Brooks, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and take some calls and continue chatting with you about the Global Syndicate and the Nephilim and all these other wonderful things you've brought forward to us. We will be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Brooks Patterson, Brooks Agnew on Coast to Coast AM.